Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hey there, Good Place fans. We are not in the bad place this week, but we are a little bit in the sad place. This was a pretty sad episode, and we're going to be talking about it. Season 4, Episode 2, a continuation of last week, A Girl from Arizona, Part 2.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Good Place After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, Elena Jordan, and we are talking about The Good Place Season 4. Yeah, Episode 2, A Girl from Arizona, Part 2. And I'm here with all of my girls. My whole soul squad is here. Immediately to my left, Mary Lou Mandel. You know her from On the Fly Filmmaking. You've seen her on the Broad City After Show, the Always Sunny After Show. Always keeping us sunny. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here with you ladies for our second episode this season.
Yay! Woo! And keeping it going for our Tahani, but our Matani.
Yeah!
Shiksa Matani in the house. Yeah! You can also catch her on The Voice After Show, but right now you can catch her voice talking about The Good Place.
Yes, so happy to be here.
So happy that you're here. And of course, Samantha Jacobs in the house.
Hey.
I'm very happy that you and I also got the twin memo since I got left out of the Soul Squad accidental match brigade last week.
I'm making up for it. We're twinning.
Now, man, this episode, whoo, we have a lot to talk about. We'll be talking about their plans for Brent, their plans for Chidi and Simone, why we all feel a little bit sad. We also got our special segment as well for your references, breaking down all of the references. And, of course, our news and gossip, too. So be sure to stay tuned for all of our show, including our predictions at the end as well. Be sure to keep up with us in the chat, too. But starting off, overall thoughts on this kind of bummer episode. I hate to say it, but what do you guys think of this one?
It was really deep. It got you in a sad place. Not a dark place, a sad place. And you don't expect that from the show.
Yeah.
So it was very good writing. Because I was listening to the gems they were dropping, and I was like, yep. So we'll unfold those a little later.
Not a dark place, but a Descartes place.
Ooh.
Hey.
So, you know, for this episode, I just found it to be really sad, as you already mentioned. It was a little too sad for my liking, but there was a lot of great character development, I thought. And that was really cool to see. So, and I know we're going to talk about it in a minute. So, yeah.
Yeah, this episode, more than any other episode we've had in the entire series, was like, aww.
Yeah.
Like, that happened more than once for me. But it being a part two, I'm interested to go back and watch the two of them together. Mm. One and two together. Because maybe it makes sense as a whole a little bit more than watching them a week apart.
That's interesting that you bring that up, because I wonder if at first, if maybe they were almost considering it to be an hour-long premiere and have it be all one big episode, and then decided to split it to the regular half hour, I guess, for their other NBC shows.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a feeling about that, just because the way it was formatted is not normal for this show's, you know, vibe. But if the two of them are together, maybe it would be fine. As our normal arc of, like, having some emotional stuff, having some funny, but it was just, like, front-heavy funny, bottom-heavy.
Maybe it was intentional to be, like, we don't want you guys to be sad after you watch the premiere, so we're going to save all this for the second episode, because we got some bummer stuff going on.
It also showed us how we were wrong in our predictions. Yeah. we thought that the next episode would be about one of the other characters, so we were very
Yeah, I
off
thought
base.
That we were going to have everything, like, split up in each yeah. one. Nope, this is still, they're like, no, we're not done with the storyline. We're still going to talk about Eleanor and Eleanor's plans that she has for everybody in the neighborhood. Linda has already been kind of taken care of because she turned out to be a demon sent from the bad place. This is an interesting point, though, that Eleanor brings up at the very beginning, is that it seems weird that the bad place would do something that was so obvious. Mm. What do you guys think about that? Do you think it was almost an intentional thing to hope that it would be something worse, like this cheaty situation that was added in? Or what do you think?
Okay, I have thoughts that I was thinking about this after our after show last week. Do you think that Michael was switched out with the Michael suit? Because if you think about it, he turned in the demon in the train, and we didn't see him. And then suddenly he came out.
I have thoughts on that also.
Oh, my God. And what if Janet has also been switched? I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay.
So
that's too
We're
going
to dive into these yeah. predictions, because I think you are on to something. What do you guys... Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it was predictable. I feel it was something that the judge made a move for. I know she mentioned, like, making Chidi part of this, so that was her nice favor, but I feel as if she kind of knew this all along just to give them a one-up because they deserve it, because she's starting to grow and like these people as well, more than not. So
I kind of wish, I mean, it's like the show would just be over then if the judge was just like, well, these guys are the good guys, so they win, but...
Yeah.
Because she did go to Earth. She was a human. She
That's
hated
true.
It, but she did experience
yeah, it. Yeah,
like,
she anything, had, I feel chicken like she'd sandwich. Just be like, nuke it, be done, we're...
Restart, like, reset the whole
reset,
thing.
Plunger the whole Earth.
Yes.
But yeah, kind of talking about resetting, we have this plan for Brent in place. And the problem with Brent is that he thinks the whole world revolves around him, because as Eleanor points out, it kind of does.
Because they're all focusing on him.
Yeah, and society is basically set up for people like Brent to succeed. So it's impossible for him to even fathom that he could be in the bad place.
Yeah.
So Eleanor's plan is, okay, we're going to do the same thing that you did for me. We're going to show him how inadequate he should feel versus all of these people with this game show called...
What is it? That Was Your Life.
That Was Your Life. But unfortunately, it ends up not really working out, backfiring. Chidi just kind of feels insecure. And Brent thinks that he should be in an even better place. He's
right.
like not picking up on this at all. He's like getting in his car to bounce.
Yeah, in comparison to the person who saved the entire species, like, of ducks and horses.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I should be in a better place than this.
I mean, Brent is just the absolute worst.
Yeah.
I feel like we can all agree on this. And then when that doesn't really work, Eleanor's plan is to continue with Michael's plan, which was, you know, for her to then have everything, you wake up in the weird stripy suits except for him, and in the Princeton Tiger has now, and Chicago has replaced Ariana Grande.
And not our flying shrimp, you know?
No more flying shrimp, it's giant golf balls instead. But this doesn't even work. What were your guys' thoughts on this, about Eleanor at this point really just kind of trying to recreate Michael's existing plan? Did you feel like it was just kind of destined to fail from the beginning because Michael also failed? I mean, we also get this great pep talk, too, with Michael, where he kind of amps her up.
And he's like, you're the only one that can do this. So
yeah.
She's still getting her footing as a leader, which we're getting, and that's where everybody was, like, a little bit shaky on her. But that pep talk brought her back, but still her having, you know, like, so this is after she's tried what we've had him try already, right? So now she's trying stuff that's new, that's a little bit different. She's getting her footing.
Yeah,
I agree. I think that it's interesting what you guys were saying, just that Michael did tell her that she can do it, that it has to be her.
Yeah.
And by copying what Michael did to her, it's not going to work. I mean, how could that work? She has to put her own flair into it, come up with her own ideas. So it was kind of destined to fail. But I like that they showed it to us, because it kind of showed us, like, okay, we think that this way will work, but no, we have to think of new ways, kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know?
This is a different group of people that they're trying to save. It's not the original four, so those things aren't going to work.
It can't be the same thing again and again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they just, and it, as you pointed out, it didn't work 800 times. So at this point, did you guys, I mean, had you caught on to the idea that Michael did this on purpose?
I think that's questionable.
Yeah.
I didn't. I don't think that's true.
Why not?
I think he definitely did the breakdown.
I think it's because it was
so over dramatic.
No,
that it had to be fake. Like she totally didn't realize it. She knew that she had to make a move, and he put her in this position where she said, "I either have to do something now, or everything is going to crash." And
no way that
because who else would do it? Who else would think of, oh, let me take the place of Michael?
I think that he was legitimately freaking out. He had just been shown the Michael suit and didn't know how to react, and he didn't have any time to think about it. He just had to go, and instead he broke down, and Eleanor had to take over.
Yeah, I have thoughts on that. Maybe that it was... There's a few different things. Like, if we still go with the Michael suit situation, if this is, like, an alternate Michael... Then he doesn't know. He's just like, yeah, that was fake. Like, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
That's a good point, too.
Also, then it goes into my other theories and predictions that we'll get into the end as to why I don't think it was a lie. I think he really did break down. And because.
So you're on my side then?
Yes.
Okay, thank God.
Because I think maybe all of this revolves around Michael. Ooh. In the end.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yes.
That makes sense, though.
Oh, mm-hmm. my God. Are you saying that we're seeing him grow as an actual, like, person?
That perhaps this is his bad place.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Where Michael's growth determines everyone else's growth. Mm-hmm. Because he is the ultimate leader. Because he is a demon.
No, but it won't work if it's a Michael suit.
No, but, like,
no, but ultimately.
That's a different option.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of these, like, different plans that we have when we're talking about, like, the Brent plan has now just been, like, okay, but Michael suits, though, right, for
there's
real.
Michael
like,
suits.
There's definitely... These are all such good...
Mm-hmm. We have some comments from the group chat. So Ivan Soto, he has a really good question. He says, was Michael playing with Eleanor, or was he trying to make Eleanor be more confident? Do you think her confidence is what will determine her success?
I mean, there is this whole thing. I mean, the reason, as we talked about, that she ends up changing her tactic after she walks in on everybody kind of talking about how she may not be the best leader, and mathematically it's dropped from, like, 9% to 7%, which I'm also like, 9% success rate is not good odds. No. These are bad stats already, guys. Like, this...
Ooh, but you're also, stats. I mean, but think about it. If those are the stats, what are they? Where are the numbers even coming from? Where are we talking, like, millions of years? Or
I think it's just based on the what data they're using now, because we have the accountant who's in his little, like, tomb that's, like, not being. Yeah, he's like in there tabulating.
But the accountants are robotic anyway. We've already seen that they're not. You know, they didn't see a problem with what was happening all this time. So.
But I'm saying, like, I think, like, that's where they're getting the numbers, is they're basing it on, like, the baseline that they gave him, like, at the start of it. So, like, at the start, this is what it was, but now it's even worse.
Yeah.
So then she goes into change tactics when Michael is, you know, giving her this whole pep talk about how it has to be a human who is able to do this, because it has to be somebody who has the empathy. He'll never be human, so he'll never have that aspect. Mm-hmm.
And that's another thought that I have, is that perhaps it's conditional with the judge, and we don't know this, but Michael knows this, that she's like, they have to do it.
Oh, that's possible. It could be, another criteria that they don't know about, mm-hmm. that were then later introduced. This show has so many, like, red herrings and then, like, hidden things that actually mean something so much bigger later. It's insane.
Well, if he was doing it to make her more confident, like we were asked, then that would change everything. That would change the whole experiment, and it wouldn't necessarily be about those four people. It would be more about the original four people, almost.
Yeah, right? It's still about the original four, I think, because they still have growth. And, I mean, this is showing how much they've grown, because we see I mean, and we'll go in later into, like, the big sacrifices that we have here. But kind of circling back to now, how this has changed her tactic for Brent's plan.
Mm-hmm.
So now the plan is, okay, guys like Brent will never admit they're wrong, so we'll just tell him that he's right. Mm-hmm. We'll be like, yes, there is a better place, but on the DL, like, we've got, like, a good deeds competition going on, so pick up some forks and start being a forking idiot. Just, like, be chill, Brent. And I'm glad that they do mention and they brought back, because my immediate thought was, but you had this whole storyline about how that doesn't work, because if it's not the right intention, then and so they shut that down immediately. Yeah. We're like, yeah, this isn't going to generate any points, but we're hoping, like, how it worked for you. Mm-hmm. Eventually it will become habit, and eventually he'll start feeling good doing good deeds and will continue to do them because he wants to be a good person. Mm-hmm. I think they're giving Brent a little bit too much credit here, but what do you guys think?
Well, you know, it's high-end manipulation, but it's also what I call producing.
There you go.
They're just, you know, sometimes you've got your talent, they're like being a mess, and you're just like, you know what, baby, like, yes, you're right, everybody is wrong, but you are beautiful, you are so good, you deserve to be here, we're all trash, go.
I feel and like then they just you need it. To cut out just this clip and put it on your LinkedIn underneath producer.
Yeah.
So that everyone knows how good a producer you are.
I tell everyone that.
Just from that.
They're like, what is it that you do? I'm a high-end manipulator. I'm a producer.
Yes.
Well, you get, like, because sometimes it's about the project. They're going to make the project happen.
I mean, that's fair. And I mean, that's ultimately what it ends up doing, is we're hoping that this is going to work out, and it does seem to work, at least for Eleanor, to get her back on track. Mm-hmm. So
but do you really think that it could work to make him a better person?
It worked for Eleanor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I guess. I don't know, I'm skeptical.
And Eleanor was hot Arizona garbage when she first started, in her own words.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's like, that's a hot Wile E. Coyote.
but if you think about it, Eleanor, she was afraid of going to the bad place. For Brent, he's just afraid. He's not really afraid. He just wants to go to a better place.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that fear factor.
Yeah,
not really
the, like,
there.
Fear is a great motivator, but
yeah.
But when he doesn't get to go to the better place, mm-hmm. then what happens? That's kind of where I think it'll turn one way or the other.
I think he's gonna throw a fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's a jerk.
That'll be fun to watch.
What do you think, Samantha?
I just feel like he's the easy one, because you can manipulate him, because he thinks he's an all-star. So he's the MVP. Make him believe he's the MVP. But we have other people to worry about. Yeah. We have other people to worry about that are more complex, who have the knowledge, who have the fear, who have the alternate mind. He doesn't. He's one way, one road. Nothing else can change him.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a really
he's really
point.
Simple. That's so they had to do a simple thing.
That's a really good point, because we do have our way more complex storyline, this story, which is Chidi and Simone.
Ugh.
Which is kind of like a two birds, one stone situation, but man, it is a stone that first you get hit in the face with, and then it hits the birds. It's like, geez.
Because we are all Eleanor. We, like, fell in love with the two of them, like, slowly and over and over and over again. And now it's just, like, ripped out from us again, and, like, right in front of our face. Like, I felt like I was like, Chidi.
No.
You're soulmates with
But I up. Do think they had a little teeny tiny moment when she was like, I do know you.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of was like, huh. And I was
like, yeah, but I mean, it's still, it's like, because Chidi thinks of her as an authority figure, like, it's the same way that Eleanor would never imagine that she could be soulmates with Michael, because it's like, this is another ethereal being that he doesn't even consider to be human.
Yeah.
Because he's taking it at face value that Eleanor is an architect, and she's not even a human, and they never had this backstory. So, the plan now for Chidi is to hook him up with Simone and have the two of them help each other and basically tell Chidi that he is soulmate. He does have a soulmate. That soulmate is Simone. And Simone has this augmented reality type view of this, and she is never going to accept where she is unless he can help.
Mm-hmm.
So this plan... God, this stabbed me in the heart, especially because, did you guys notice where they were having the conversation? It was at the Tea for Two, the couples cafe, where they had their soulmate.
That's the thing, though. You can't hate Simone. Yeah. And you want Simone to go with Chidi because you want her to realize where she, you know, that she, this is not fake, that this is real. So you're rooting for them from that standpoint, but then you also don't want them to get together, so... That's why
these writers are so good, because it's so unclear how this is going to go. And then when we see Chidi, like, he's, like, on board, and now he goes to talk to Simone, and he puts the little yogurt on her nose, and I'm just like, I can't.
He was so smooth, though. Where did that come from?
I know.
I was like, Chidi.
Because he felt like he didn't have a, there was not a choice.
The choice was
like,
that's away.
You.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she knows him well enough to know, if he doesn't have a choice in it, if he is told point blank, this is for certain, and that's why I think she even stresses. Mm-hmm. I can say with complete certainty that Simone is that person.
Yeah.
So that he doesn't even doubt it. And then, he's just as smooth as yogurt that he's putting on her nose. Yeah. I'm like, get out of here with your, like, really? I'm Chidi Anagonye. And guess what? Here's a casual little Descartes reference. Oh, here's some yogurt. Malbec, am I right? Zanzu. Also, I'm hot underneath this. I'm just like, get out of here, Chidi.
Oh, my God. Oh, snap.
That's exactly what I'm thinking about.
I mean, we could pull up a photo anytime.
Ryan in the booth was waiting for a time to use the air horn, and Chidi's abs was that time. Wow. So we have to keep it fun, okay? Like, we otherwise we're all
heavy.
Just gonna cry, all right?
Next time we should have a picture of his abs.
I know, just always a default if we're ever sad. Yeah. We're just like, all right, show us the sad abs, and then we all like cheer up a little bit.
Yeah. Do you think that he is gonna end up with Eleanor if he is too confident?
Yes. They have ended up together in 800 different situations. Plus,
Jeremy, bear me, baby.
Yes. I don't think I can accept
like, there's no other answer.
Like, I'm not taking any other. Like, this is fact.
Excuse me, ma'am.
I feel like he'll have a mental breakdown if he I like Simone, but no.
I mean, it has to be Eleanor, please.
And plus, they'll be able to show him tapes after the fact.
Yeah, because they got the receipts.
Yeah. Be like, listen, this happened lots of times.
I just want something good for Simone, too, because Simone is so dope. Even though, having this whole, like, way to have him go back into his solid, like, his, talking about, like, all of his different philosophy things, and then having a little bit of a comedic moment thrown in when he's saying, I wonder if I can summon a book from my house, and then having him get smacked in the face with the book, because I think at home that was for us, like, we all were like, Chidi, you're saying really hurtful things to Eleanor, and you don't realize it, but we need to see get hit in the face with the book right now. I'm sorry, sir. Because get it together, man. This scene was just, I'm still kind of reeling a little bit from it, because they have set it up so well. And they, even when the Soul Squad are talking about, you know, Chidi gave this big sacrifice for everybody, but it's harder for Eleanor almost, because Chidi doesn't even realize that he's given this sacrifice. Like, he's just walking around like everything's hunky-dory, and poor Eleanor is having to live this heartbreak over and over and over. Like, this is her true bad place, I feel.
But think about that character development with Eleanor. The fact that she's able to handle that and be the leader and take what this whole thing with Chidi and still push them together. It's amazing to me, because if you look at her from the very first episode and then look at her now, it's amazing. How much she's grown.
She's wearing pantsuits.
Yeah. She's a boss.
I mean, she's not showering as often as she should, but she's still a boss. I'm also like, you need to make her look a little bit more disheveled if we're supposed to buy that she's like stinking at this point.
Right,
I'm like,
you stink in the,
still a
in the afterlife.
Kristen Bell. I don't know about that. It's like Ugly Betty when they're like, America Ferrera has glasses and a poncho. And I'm like, she's gorgeous. I'm looking at this. Get out of here.
Get out of here, you guys.
So that was the only thing in this episode I was like, I don't know if I'm buying it. But talking about her progress and having it even being titled A Girl from Arizona and really stressing the importance of, you know, it is just regular people who can save the world. And even if you are just kind of, I mean, I'm ashamed to admit, I definitely saw some of myself in early Eleanor with some of the things she was doing. I was like, oh, God. So, I mean, I like that they do have this kind of stress that it's almost this subtle moral of the story for the viewer at home. Where you're like, okay, but what do you have to lose by being kind and treating other people with respect? You know, like that is kind of the overarching message. Like, don't act like the whole world revolves around you, because what if it doesn't?
Yeah.
Just in case other people exist.
And then the Michael pep talk hit me hard, just like with stuff that I'm going through, where it's like maybe the 1001 idea will work. I was like, okay, my God.
Everything on this show should be a t-shirt. I'm like, every quote should be its own t-shirt. And I just wear it every day as inspiration. But another sad storyline this episode, if we weren't sad enough already, then we get our other favorite couple, Jason and Janet, having their official split, too. What did you guys feel about this? Because we knew that they were kind of, they were on the fence last episode, and then Jason confesses his plan to Michael, that he feels bad about making Janet's life more chaotic and unpredictable, so he wants to have all 100-something Janet babies do a big flash mob that's just wildly chaotic and unpredictable. Poor sweet Jason.
Yeah.
I loved that part because the message that Michael gave to Jason was, you know, you can't just fix things on impulse, which is something I am ultimately guilty of. And you can't just sweep things up by trying to make things better. Like, you have to let stuff marinate and manifest and realize, and then you can have your conversation. Then you can, you know, cool down a little bit. Things don't just get fixed in a snap. So that, I think, was the ultimate message that they wanted to portray. But I think that Janet and Jason broke up too soon. It's episode 2.
Yeah, no.
Like, they should have done it maybe 2 more episodes later, maybe?
I think, okay, bear with me here. I think that it really is bad Janet, and so she breaking up with him to get him, to get rid of him. Because if you think about it, in the last season, she was pining for him so hard when they were on Earth, and she was so upset when Jason didn't remember, and now all of a sudden, no!
Oh,
you know?
Well, your girl's got to focus on her career. She got to work.
I mean, literally, the whole world implodes if she loses focus for one billionth of a second.
But she's this Meg, I don't even know what to call her. She's not a robot. She's this.
Not a robot.
Not a robot.
Not a girl. She's a Janet.
She's a Janet. So she should be able to handle all this stuff, you know?
Because she's been able to handle everything else. My theory is that it's, again, conditional on that they have to, the humans have to do or achieve certain things themselves. It's still about our main four. So I it is a way of making Jason, I keep wanting to call him Manny because this is like
Manny just
make Jason calm down, be monk-like, chill out a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's still a little bit of them producing them, because Janet's been able to handle absolutely everything before.
That's true. And this is also the first time that Jason has actually gotten that message, where he's like, so you're saying that I can't just do something that I want to do just because I want to do something, that's not a good enough reason for me to go ahead and do it immediately. Well, I wish somebody would have taught me this before. And then he's like, people constantly tried to tell you this, Jay. You were in jail repeatedly. Judges told you this.
Yeah, but the stakes were high.
Now, exactly. And now he's finally getting it, because now it's something that he actually cares enough about, is his relationship with Janet. Up until this point, I don't think he ever really loved anything as much as Janet, except for maybe Blake Bortles. Oh, and then, God, even that was taken away this episode. I'm like, just stab us in the heart. Why don't you? I don't even care about the Jaguars at all. And I'm like, not Blake Bortles. And I'm like, what? If you told me before this show that I would ever be heartbroken that Blake Bortles left the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'd be like, I could not care less about this.
It was just one sad thing after the other. I swear, including that. It was just
one thing
after the other.
It's like, that's such a tribute to how much we want. Now I'm wanting to call him Manny. Jason to be happy, because it's like, it even made me care about a football thing that I could not care less about. Yeah. Just because I know it makes Jason sad.
Yes. There's still hope, though, because she said after the experiment, you know, hit me up. And we'll
but
reconnect.
Is there still hope for Blake Bortles? I think is the real question.
I feel like that's universal truth.
Yeah, no.
Janet's like, oh, just so you know.
She did him a solid. Because what if he kept believing that he was there?
But and I think telling him is going to help him grow, because this thing that he held as like forever true, forever like high and mighty, is now gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's going to have to make him develop, like, oh, my heroes.
Ooh, he's going to have to focus on himself. His heroes and love is gone.
Ooh.
He has no distractions anymore. Good point, Samantha.
Monk-like.
Look at you. Yes. I also love, too, the moment that he has with Tahani and with Eleanor, both. And it shows how strong the Soul Squad is when Tahani is talking to Jason and, you know, trying to talk him down and saying, you know, well, whatever you do, at least you'll be doing it with your friends. We're always going to be here. And then that moment at the end when Eleanor's like, dead ash, like, I know you're down, but don't leave me hanging. And he's like, yes, that is the code.
The code.
I feel like that is such, I mean, these little subtle things are part of why we love these characters so much, because their love for each other makes us love them even more, because it's like, I want to be a part of the Soul Squad. Like, you guys, you're the best friend group on TV. I love it.
Because they've been through eternity together.
They've been through, and they don't even remember most of it. It's like me with all my drinking buddies. But anyway, any last thoughts on this episode?
I still think that it's a fake Michael, and it's a Michael suit, and it's a bad Janet, and this whole experiment is going out the window because of that, because they're not, the bad place is not supposed to intervene, and yet they are. And it's going to come out somehow, and then it's just, like, all gone, all out the window.
Ooh, look at that. Hot take, as hot as Chidi's abs.
I feel like, as we thought before, it wasn't about the Soul Squad, but it actually was, except for Tahani. She was the only one that didn't really get something out of this episode, so next episode we'll kind of overlook her, because as you notice, the only person that didn't get moved to the party emoji was the gossip guy.
Yeah, because we haven't touched on him.
So he wasn't even here. So he mic dropped this episode.
John, that's true.
Yeah, I don't know. There's so many ways that it can go. I have so many thoughts. I'm with you that maybe there's going to be like a mid-season twist.
Ooh,
I feel like this could be another version of the test.
It's
just Michael and Janet having to go so next level and throwing them into these things that, you know, they have their truth, but now we're doing this new version of it. They're still being tested.
I like that. I want to have time, too, to go into our predictions, because you guys have some phenomenal predictions. But before we get into that, we also have our special segment for your reference.
Woo! No music.
Yeah. Okay, why not?
So, for this special segment today, I thought it'd be cool if we did That Was Your Life, like in the show. So, guys, if we were in that show, within the show, That Was Your Life, what do you think you would be known for?
Oh, my gosh.
Man. That's rough. Probably a lot of things wish that were not on the screen. But I'm hoping bringing a little bit of happiness to people. Probably a lot of this. Probably a lot of hosting and being on AfterBuzz and hanging out with awesome people like you guys.
All right.
And all of you guys at home that I think make me a better person.
Hey, you do such a great job with it.
Aww. She's producing.
She is.
Yeah, maybe mine would be like not to be trusted, which I don't think is true. I think it's more she tried real hard. That's what my story is. She tried real hard. She went real hard.
Okay.
I like it.
All right. There we go.
Go ahead.
I would want to make a difference in someone's life. I don't know if that's being someone's mentor or kind of being someone's inspiration.
But what do you think it is? Yeah, like, if it were right now.
If you were to, like, die right now.
Oh, my God.
You're like, I haven't saved all the ducks yet.
I feel like, yes, give someone the confidence to not give up on anything that they believe is true to themselves.
Hey, look at that. The audience loves it.
Especially in L.A. I'm going to rant now. So, especially in L.A., it's hard. Everyone has these dreams and stuff. And if they don't see that their amazingness within themselves, it's very difficult.
I love the positivity on... It's definitely helping make up for the negativity on this episode and the positivity of this after show.
I think mine would be similar. My whole thing is, you know, I'm pursuing a dream and I just want to inspire other people to pursue their dreams, not be afraid to just go after what they want. And that's what I've been trying to do and hope to continue to do. So I hope that's what I'm known for, to, like, bring light into people's life and, you know, not be afraid to do what you like to do. So.
I love that so much. Even though mine would probably be like, you're known for eating all the ranch dressing and making everyone upset at every restaurant you go to.
That's fair.
But wait, let's talk ranch, a little bit of news.
Would ranch dressing be...
That would be what calls for me. Instead of the Perrier ranch dressing.
Awesome. So I got a few different things for our news. So first up, Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard announced that their plant-based baby product line is now available in Canada. It's Hello Bello. So it's all plant-based, affordable. It's like high-quality but affordable baby products in the U.S. and Canada. And aren't they so cute with their, like, Halloween?
They're the best couple.
Yeah, their announcement of this on Instagram was the two of them right after a workout, all sweaty. Yeah. Like, she's sitting on his lap, and they're like, hey, Canada, you can get this now.
They're the cutest. I love them. Amazing.
Awesome. Our next piece of news, BuzzFeed celeb had Manny Jacinto read thirst tweets about himself. So you guys should definitely check out this video, but my favorite was a tweet that said, Manny Jacinto could slit my throat with that jawline of his, and I swear the gurgling noises you'd hear as the blood poured out of my jugular would be a sound of pure bliss.
Oh my God.
That is there were a lot about his jawline and his arms.
I will say, I have met him in real life, too, and he straight is hottie. Somehow even more gorgeous in real life. I actually said, oh, dip, and then immediately regretted it. I'm not even kidding. He, like, kind of laughed, but also was sad for me, and I could tell.
I believe it.
That was my gossip. So that's some real news.
That's some real news my there. Gossip. And then our folks here on Rotten Tomatoes, season 4 is 100% certified correct. Certified, fresh, and on Rotten Tomatoes, it is described as a wild philosophical ride to the very end. The Good Place brings it home with a forking good final season.
Yes! Woo! Congratulations to The Good Place. Phenomenal. Now, we talked a little bit of our predictions about what we think is going to happen next week, but...
You're After Buzz TV.
Now we're going to talk about it a little bit more.
We talked about this really good theory that on the train, because we thought that something was funky happening on the train, there's normally a twist at the end, and there wasn't. So I love your theory.
It would just be so... The bad place is definitely doing something. It's just a matter of what, you know? Just because they were told not to do anything doesn't mean they're not. So, and they showed us the Michael suit, and I don't know, the fact that he's...
It's like the whole writing adage of, like, you don't show a gun in Act 1 unless it goes off in Act 3. They wouldn't have shown us the Michael suit and reminded us about it if it wasn't going to come into play.
And it was sneaky. We didn't see him go on the train. He came out. I don't know. I'm just saying, I hope we find out soon, because I'm really excited to see, like, where the real Michael is. You know, held up in the bad place, being tortured or something. I don't know.
We're going to get to the final episode, and it's still the same Michael. She's like, but where's the good Michael?
But where's the suit?
Seriously.
Your theory is, like, throwing me so off.
Yes! I'm like, wait, what?
I honestly don't know. I can't predict right now because...
That's part of why this show's so good.
Yeah.
It's unpredictable.
I want to, like you said, I want to watch it all in one, like back to back, because I do feel like that was an hour long. And then some of the stuff from episode 1 really do connect with 2, and maybe I need a little refresher. But I think, well, like I said before, Tahani's next. We're going to develop her and figure out what is really triggering her, because I also feel someone... might mess something up. There has to be someone who messes something up, and everyone's too happy-go-lucky right now.
Any last prediction before we say our farewells for the evening?
Okay, well, so the Michael, like, this is Michael's bad place, was like, is not an original thought of mine. It was when I was looking up news and stuff that was like a fan theory, and I was like, what? It just got my mind thinking that, like, all of this, if Michael is not a demon, he's a human, and that this is his
stuff. Now my whole head just...
I love that.
Oh my god, you just blew my mind.
Four seasons and we've been following the wrong person?
Okay.
Oh my god.
I think we might be onto something here. Guys, let us know what your predictions are as well in the comments below. We love hearing from you. Yeah. And speaking of which, how can everybody keep in touch with you until next week?
You can find me at story_of_Samantha on Instagram. And I'm also doing Nancy Drew and Modern Love, so catch me on Thursdays.
Yeah. You can catch me on all social media channels at I Am Volley Girl. And I'm also going to be doing the voice after show starting next week. So catch me there on Tuesdays.
Right on. You guys can find me all over the internet at Mary Lou Mandel. And if you're into creating digital content, follow me on YouTube where I do tutorials teaching you how to do just that.
Nice. And I'm Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at Elena J. Jordan. And you can find me every week on MEA Worldwide interviewing all of your favorite celebrities. That's MEAWW.com. And you'll catch us all here next week. Having our minds blown yet again by The Good Place. We'll see you guys then.
Yeah.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.